So I enjoyed the new companion. What did you think, David?
I really enjoyed her, too. I thought she was very interesting.
Yeah, she was, you know, spunky, a little bit sexy.
Spunky?
Yeah,
spunky?
Yeah, definitely spunky.
Spunky.
What do you think, Andrew?
Yes, the new companion to the show is Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
What is it, Jenna Louise Coleman?
Jenna Louise Coleman.
Oh, like Gary Coleman. That's what I was trying to make an analogy in my head. No, she's like a black midget.
Okay.
Black midget.
Where the fuck did that come from?
Coleman.
Coleman, like Gary Coleman?
Like Gary Coleman.
Oh, Michael yeah. Clark Duncan.
Yeah, he died.
Sad day. You all right?
Yeah, the laughter just drove me to tears.
All right, so
hey everybody,
it's a kind of epic show.
A little bit more epic now.
Definitely more epic.
I'm David.
I'm Chance.
Chance is our Andrew replacement.
Yeah, he's been on here before though. So
I'm Andrew Light.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
So, this week, we didn't really see a movie.
No, well, we saw The Avengers for the fifth time. Does that count?
So we're going to discuss Doctor Who.
Yay!
We last Saturday.
Yay! It's been a long time.
I miss my doctor.
That was a very long wait. Christmas. Christmas to September 1st.
No, it wasn't. It was not that great.
There were things I liked about it, but I liked Matt in it. That's one thing. Even with the weakest episode of his, I like him in it.
Well, yeah.
He's a good actor.
Overall, crappy. I mean, if you go from Christmas Carol to that.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, all Christmas specials have been kind of shitty, except for the Christmas Carol.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't count The End of Time.
I like the Tenet one. When I wouldn't appreciate it.
He's not in half the episode.
So?
It's not like the math of the murdering Christmas trees.
Yeah, I didn't.
That's funny.
Well, it's definitely a product of RTD. Definitely along. But, did you like the Slovene episodes in season one?
It's all right.
I don't like those at all.
Yeah, it's definitely a different tone than what we're used to at this point, but yeah, I enjoyed it the time I watched it.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean,
did you like Fear Her?
Oh no. That was bad.
I think I tell people to skip theater. Because I've had some friends that I've had to make out a timeline for, just so they, if they want to take on the full beast of what Doctor Who is, or Doctor Who, Torchwood, and Sarah Jane Adventures, I give them a timeline just so they can watch it in order, because I think you get a bit more out of it. Just little things like both Saxon and Torchwood, and Atmos and Torchwood, just stuff like that. But I'm pretty sure in that timeline, I'm like, skip Fear Her.
Which one was that?
The Scribble?
Black girl. Mm-hmm.
I think I had you skip that one?
No, I saw that one.
It was like during the 2012 Olympics.
Yeah.
So now I remember
this one now. Yeah.
And as much as I hated that episode, I really wish David Tennant would have lit the Olympic torch. Just I think it'd be funny.
But anyway, so yeah, this season started off with Asylum of the Daleks.
Bringing in a bunch of Daleks from the entire 50 years of Doctor Who, which I think is nice. Bringing back some classic series Daleks, which unfortunately weren't really showcased at all. I really wish they would have been. Just been a bit more in the spotlight, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of in the background.
Well, yeah. I at the end of the day, wasn't too impressed with the episode compared to other season openers that we experienced.
It's definitely the weakest out of Matt's season openers. I mean, nothing. The 11th Hour is still probably one of my favorite episodes of his.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah. The two-parter last year was pretty damn good, too.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, there are no two-parters this year. So that's something that's new and interesting. So.
What if that ended up being a mistake?
Yeah? I don't agree with most of the two-parters. I really don't like a lot of the two-parters. A lot of the two-parters, I feel like, can be cut down into one episode.
Like, yeah, they normally do a good job of splitting them up into separate segments, though. It's like the dinosaur people one.
Silurians.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Dinosaur people live underground.
Yeah.
I thought those were kind of split up pretty well. I mean, one was above ground.
Yeah.
Dealing with it, and then they went underground.
But they also, one thing that bugged me in those episodes, they had a narration in one part that wasn't in the other. And if you're going to have a two-part, half of the narration through the entire thing, it really bothers me. They really felt disjointed by that.
I don't agree. Mainly just because...
Well, did you like the Almost People last year?
No.
No?
I wasn't a big fan of that.
Yeah, I liked it better than the...
No.
Than the... Silurian two-parter.
No, that was a bad one. Mm. Yeah. I like the Weeping Angel two-parter.
See, I didn't. I have major issues with that.
Why?
Because you see him move.
So?
I hate the idea of seeing the angels move.
Well, they're trying to bring in new audiences now. I mean, that's what all the changes are about.
Well, that's one thing I love about Blink, though, is you don't see them move. When they're on camera, they don't move because you're looking at them. The audience is... Even if the other characters in the scene aren't around them, they don't move because the audience is looking at them. I just thought it was such a cool thing to actually do to bring the audience into the episode a little bit. And seeing them move kind of takes that away.
It didn't really affect me one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It didn't bother me enough to detract from my enjoyment of it.
It took me out of it quite a bit.
I think we found the thing that where we kind of switch roles and where I'm the one who doesn't give a shit and you're the one that really gives a shit.
She gives it too. I am very passionate about Who.
I mean, the only thing I'll give a shit about is if something just...
And the angels were barely in that two-parter. The Daleks, or the angels weren't the main focus of that two-parter. The crack becomes the issue halfway through the second episode.
Yeah.
Well, so.
Yeah.
Angels.
Yeah.
I want to see the angels in this season.
So do I.
I think, yeah.
that'll be a big one, especially with the... Well, let's get to it eventually. Let's not just talk about it right now, because... Let's talk about the relationship between Rory and Amy this episode.
Oh, okay.
And where it could possibly go. With the Angels Take Manhattan being the last episode.
Well, I do have to say, I thought the episode began a little melodramatically, where, you know, it drops us into the situation without any sort of build up to it at all.
Yeah, then give me a lot of reason to care about what was happening.
Even with the Pond Life that came out this entire past week, they didn't really focus on the...
No, you only got the little shots. Bits. Yeah, those final clip shots.
I think they should have been building that the entire 5 mini episodes, you know? Like
Not just the last one, where you just don't...
Like, what the hell? Where'd this come from?
Yeah.
Well, I think... That's why I think there's going to be more in the season about their issues, their relationship issues, because if not, I mean, it's kind of a waste of just throwing it in there.
Yeah, and it was a bit easily fixed, even though I thought it was a good moment where they did make up. I thought it was and the doctor fixes his bow tie.
Yeah, I like that.
Like, I liked that.
Oh, he's trying to figure out how he can fix us, like he fixes his bow tie.
Yeah.
But I was watching it with my girlfriend and her sister and her husband, and they all really don't like Amy.
Neither do I. I'm not a big fan of Amy.
I thought she was looking great.
I mean, I'm a bigger fan of Rory. I care more about Rory. Course.
But the thing was that scene...
because he's relatable.
...really pissed him off because he tried to claim that her giving him up was the same as waiting around for 2,000 years on the box.
They just don't want her to have anything. They're like, bitch, you're worthless.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But at the same time, I do have to agree that it does seem a little... The argument really isn't there.
It was a pretty melodramatic statement.
I think he definitely loves her more than...
Yeah.
Because he did wait around for 2,000 years outside of a box. He drew...
And he followed it around. It wasn't like he had to stay in the same spot. He had to figure out how to... Oh,
and then he had to pull it out of a burning building when he's made of plastic. He put his life on the line to save a goddamn box.
Made of plastic. Jesus Christ.
It's true.
Yeah.
He wasn't it happened at the time.
You heard Rory, it happened.
And, I mean, that's one thing I'm glad doesn't really pop up too often.
What, that he was made out of plastic?
Yeah. The Autons? They've had two appearances in the past 7 years. I can live with that. Eight years.
That's enough. I'd like to see a new enemy. I think that'd be good.
We've gotten them.
Yeah, but I think that we
just... Silence is a new enemy.
Yeah, but I want to see another new one early on here. I want to see another new one early on here.
I think we might. We might have already in the prequel, The Hooded Man. We don't know who that is.
Oh, that's true. We were talking about that.
And I don't think the Silence are gone for good either. They should come... They at least should come back at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still a lot left unsaid from season one with them, so... The Silence still haven't fallen, you know, like...
Yeah, not completely.
Unless you count when the Impossible Astronaut, when the Doctor kills him, but... Unless you count that, but no, Silence will fall when the question is answered, or whatever.
And the question is...
Doctor Who. So, there's still... The Silence still have a part to play. So, I mean, they'll be back at some point. And then Madame Corvax or whatever from last year.
Eye Patch Woman?
The Eye Patch Woman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She died, but, I mean, she was still a new villain. So.
Yeah.
He sprinkles them in.
That's true.
Captain Jack coming back this season?
Probably not until the 50th. I would say when he comes back, it'll be the 50th.
Oh.
And Matt said what companion... He wants Rose back for the 50th.
Oh, yeah.
He's good friends with Billy. They dated for a little while.
Oh, okay.
So he wants her back for the 50th anniversary.
Well,
which is funny because they were in the secret. Or
that's what I was
going to
say.
Girl
I thought they were in the secret.
For an episode.
Call girl.
They bone.
They did.
It was awkward.
It was awkward.
Because I watched it after Matt was already the doctor, so it was just like, it's the wrong doctor.
You're banging the wrong dude.
But if she comes back, who would come with her? Her human 10.
Yeah.
So, that would be fun.
That'd be a nice way of having them in the same room and not actually...
Having consequences?
Yeah, having the doctor being in the same place.
Even though they've done it a lot.
Well, yeah, it's just, I don't know, that'd be the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, even though I would, for the 50th, I would rather have a more than one extra doctor. I would like to see... if not just the current doctors, like, even though getting Eccleston back will be impossible.
I don't think that's not happening.
But that would be my ideal, have, like, 9 through 11 back for the 50th. Or even go back and get Paul McGann. I mean, it would be nice to give him something else besides the TV movie, so.
I'm gonna make jokes about it.
He's played the role the longest. He stars in his own Big Finish series as the Doctor. So.
I thought who's the guy in the movie?
Paul McGann. Yeah. But he's continuing. He didn't just stop doing Doctor Who after that. He's been doing audio dramas ever since as the Doctor. And he's even evolved, and his look is somewhat in between where it was in the TV movie and Chris Eccleston's. So it's kind of like it's eventually going to get to that point. Even though they can't really touch on anything that's happened in New Who. And they're not, like, Big Finish, I mean, they're doing stuff with all the Doctors before the new series. Like, Tom Baker's recording again as the Doctor and everyone after him. So they've gotten all the classic series Doctors back to do stuff. So everybody but Chris is still willing to do the role. So, I mean, I would love to see all the living Doctors come back. I mean, that would just be, at least in some capacity, not have a major part in it if need be, because, I mean, Tom Baker's awfully old. But even if it's just a cameo, you know, I think that'd be really cool. Mm-hmm. Just to get them back for something. But if I had to just get a multi-Doctor story, 10 and 11 is fun to me. Especially if rumors have had where it be a 50th anniversary series, like season, instead of just one part.
Oh, that'd be epic.
Yeah. So, like, it would be an entire season leading to this massive, so, like, 50th anniversary. So, yeah. I think that'd be fantastic.
I would agree.
And, Sylvester McCoy brought up a good thing. He said he's the seventh Doctor. He doesn't necessarily want to return as the Doctor, but he would return to the show. He had a great idea that all the previous Doctors and Companions could come back during that season and have guest roles as another character or something. Mm-hmm. I could see that. That'd be fun, too. I'd like that. But, yeah, I forget where I was going with that. Oh, yeah, I forget where I was going with that. this is a good moment to hop over to Gabe Canada, who did a couple of interviews in Indianapolis at Gen Con a couple weeks back about Big Finish, one of the people being Nicholas Briggs, voice of the Daleks. So you'll hear him actually get to talk about playing so many Daleks in one episode. So we'll cut to that and be back in a couple minutes.
Something with that expectation that there's more on screen time than there.
So of course, I didn't know before I read it. And it's an amazing episode. I saw it last Tuesday at a special preview screening and was sworn to absolute secrecy. So I can't tell you anything about it. There are so many fun things in it, and as you've seen from the trailer, there are literally millions of Daleks. And I did quite a bit of the work on set as I normally do. but also there was a lot to do in ADR, as they call it, post-production sound. So yeah, and it's called Asylum of the Daleks, so you can imagine that there might be some Daleks who are not exactly sane. And there was one bit where I was doing some of their strange shouting in post-production, looking at the screen, and I said, "Do you want them really mad?" And the guy said, "Yeah, yeah, do them really mad." So I did a whole load of mad stuff, and they went, "Maybe a bit less mad." They were quite surprised at how far I could go. It's a great story, though. You're going to love it.
Very excited. I mean, are we going to see, I mean, again, without revealing too much of the plot, but you have a kind of...
I might not reveal too much about it. Ask a question, are we going to see?
No. Or in this case here, I mean, are you going to be working on any other monsters, I mean, in the course of the
series? I couldn't possibly say.
Oh. That was kind of a tough one. I didn't mean to try and catch you there, but it's much appreciated that you even entertained that. But in the past, I mean, is there a character that you had a lot of fun actually developing, something, any of the new characters, like the Jadoon?
That was fun to do, the Jadoon, yeah. I mean, you know, I was asked to come up with a voice for it. It was a Friday afternoon, my agent phoned me and said, "You're going to be a Jadoon captain." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "I don't know, you're a Doctor Who fan, I'm not." I said, "No, this is something new." So no one knew, and so I phoned up David Tennant and asked him, and he told me, and they said, "Why do you need to know?" And I said, "Because I'm coming on Monday to do the voice." "Oh, okay." So I arrived on the set, and then I said, "Well, where is the Jadoon?" You know, David had already told me that they were space policemen with heads like rhinoceroses. So I went to watch the mask being put on, and as he was putting the mask on, I started doing the funny voice, and I went to the director and said, "I've got to do it like this." And he said, "Oh, that's hilarious." Yeah. And I said, "Oh, I'm sure you want it to be hilarious." But that's, they liked it, and it stuck.
I guess that's most seen in the Dalek. I mean, it's just that mixture that you get with Doctor Who, even with the monsters, you've got that mixture of kind of delight and just knowing that it's still that children's show, and then also the menace. And
yes.
How do you balance that? Like, even with the creation, because again, you had so much to do with the creation of the Cybermen voice for the new seasons,
yes,
as well. How do you balance that expectation of getting the kids to hide behind the couches and getting the adults to smile?
You just leave it to the kids, you know, and you just play the truth of the character. But because there's something... I think the key to getting a good villain is that they have to be horrific and nasty and do terrible things, but they have to be, as a lot of bad people are, ludicrous viewed from a distance. Like, you know, for example, to use a terrible example from history, like Adolf Hitler, the most appalling man who did the most terrible, terrible things. And yet he is funny to look at. He's short with a stupid moustache. And I think the Daleks are terrifying. On one hand, they're like tanks that could destroy you and smash your house to bits and fly, you know. But they look like they're made out of a collection of kitchen utensils. You know, but argue with one and that would be the end of your life. So I think it's quite a good, and it's a very English thing actually, to have villains that are faintly ludicrous. But you know, when you're in their power, you don't stand a chance of survival. So that's the double-edged thing about it.
I just want to close with giving you a chance to promote all the properties that you're doing with Big Finish. And then for many people who may not be aware, that you're very much in charge of direction for the Doctor stories and for so much of what's coming out of Big Finish.
Well, my role at Big Finish is co-executive producer with Jason. And my role is really all the creative control, but I have lots of organizational responsibilities as well. Really, I oversee the entire thing. I have a great team I work with. David Richardson, my line producer, is fantastic, organises everything. But yeah, all the decisions sort of come through me, and we have lots of meetings and discuss it. But constantly with my script editor, Alan Barnes, working out new Doctor Who stories. You know, we're working on stuff for right through to the end of next year. One of the exciting things coming out at the end of this year is a new Eighth Doctor box set, Dark Eyes, Paul McGann, and a new companion called Molly O'Sullivan, played by a fantastic actress, Ruth Bradley. Google her, you'll see how fantastic she is. She's beautiful as well. I just thought I'd throw that in. I'm really looking forward to that one. There's just so much coming up. And my whole, really, it's my day job. I could spend all day, every day, doing Big Finish. But I have to do this other stuff as well.
Thank you so much. I'll let you get back to the
pleasure.
Here quickly.
I've got to sign something. Goodbye.
Hello, my name's Jay. Jason Hay Gallery. I'm the producer at Big Finish. Big Finish is an audio production company and an animation company, and we do the audio adventures of Doctor Who. So we've been working on Doctor Who for around about 13 years now. We looked after Doctor Who before the TV series came back, and a couple of our stories have actually been adapted into stories for the television programme. So, for example, Jubilee became Dalek in the first series, and Spare Parts became Rise of the Cybermen and Age of Steel in the second series. There we go. We also produced the Paul McGann series, which was broadcast on BBC Radio as well. And all of this is available on CD and download from our website. And we produce a magazine called Vortex, which is free to download on our website as well. So there we go, that's the plugging out of the way. But no, we came to this, let's say about 14 years ago. We started a series called Professor Bernie Summerfield, which was a Doctor Who spin-off character. And then we went to the BBC and got the rights to do Doctor Who. And now we've had around about 350 releases in total of all the different types of things we do. I'm here with Nick Briggs, who plays the Daleks and the Cybermen. And we're here promoting at Who North America, who have a stand at Gen Con. And we're promoting not just the Doctor Who ranges that we do, but Stargate, Highlander, Countermeasures, Sherlock Holmes. Nick plays Sherlock Holmes as well.
It's not true. There can't be more than one.
There is far more. Yes.
I was just going to say, actually wanted to ask you about Bernice Summerfield, because it was the first property involved with Who that you'd approached. You got it from Virgin New Adventures, because she'd never had the appearance. She's never had the chance to appear in Who in the canonical sense. She's been in the TV series. With so much going up towards the 50th anniversary, and this kind of relates to your McGann stories you've done as well, because there's so many fans pushing to have McGann as part of the 50th anniversary.
Yes.
Do you think that there's a certain level of vindication, or can you see a certain level of support for having, say, Bernice, or having McGann be a part of this story? And, I mean, what, is that something that you would want
to McGann's,
see?
Well, McGann's, you know, part of the canon.
Absolutely,
absolutely, he always has been. Bernice was obviously part of the book series, and then came to the audio series. And she has appeared in the audio series Doctor Who with Sylvester McCoy. And we just got a new one being released in a couple of months' time, which is Love and War, which is the adaptation of Paul Cornell's amazing book, which I'm very much looking forward to listening to. But we don't know what's going to happen for the 50th anniversary. Even if we did, we wouldn't have. No, we obviously don't know.
I guess it's less a push for that than it is. Is it something you'd like to see? I mean, just again, the character that has seen a lot of love, but hasn't been seen in the series so far.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be lovely to have, you know, something like Bernice Summerfield in the series. But I think there's so much else to cram into a 50th anniversary. I don't think it'll ever happen, because Doctor Who is in so many different formats now. You've got the books, you've got the audio series, you've got the comic strips, you've got the television series, you've got the history of the Doctor in historical books, but also analytical books, but also there's so much to say about Doctor Who. I think it's just valid, and all types of different Doctor Who, all types of people.
And then could you tell us a bit about the Dark Shadow series that you're doing? Because I know you said you actually have new work from the actor who portrayed Barnabas.
Yes, Jonathan Frid, yes. There we go, which is The Night Whispers, which is an award-winning production. And hello. Say hello. He thinks that wearing hats is cool. Give me that. Follow me. She'll join in now.
Hats are cool.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, we got Jonathan Frid and John Carlin to come back to recreate the roles of Barnabas and Willie. And it was amazing to work with him again, but it really was. We were hoping to do more with him, but unfortunately, just doing this one was so much of an effort for him, because this was done 2 years ago, and even then he was very ill. And getting through that script and finishing was very difficult for him. So after I was decided it was great to have him back, do one more story as Barnabas, you know, so many years, 40 years after he was doing it on television, that's probably going to be it. Unfortunately, he died a few months ago, which is very sad, but probably, you know, it's great that fans have one final performance of Jonathan as Barnabas.
Thank you so much. We took up over 5 minutes very quickly.
No,
see if there's anything else you wanted to say in closing about the finish and about anything that you do.
Well, we're going straight to strength. We've got new ranges coming out. We've got new products coming out. We're diversifying different ways. We're doing the animation to entertain for Reign of Terror, video release, DVD release. So there are new ways in which we're growing, and publishing is one of the ways we're growing. So you may see some interesting stuff from us in the foreseeable future.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
It's a miracle of editing.
Okay.
Editing
so,
is terrible.
So, speaking of Daleks.
Yeah.
Speaking of Daleks.
Let's talk about the person who ended up sort of being a Dalek.
Ah, Jenna Louise Coleman.
Gary Coleman. Yeah.
I think I'm in love.
She's quite the looker.
Whew.
And the attitude.
And, yeah.
I loved the character.
And so did I. Playing. And it's sad because I hope she's like that when she comes back at Christmas.
Right, because we don't know who she's gonna be really.
Didn't she show up in the Victorian age or something?
Yeah, well, they were recording. She was caught on set in modern day clothing and in Victorian clothing.
Oh, okay.
So we're not really sure.
Okay.
And another thing about the Christmas episode, all the people from The Good Man Goes to War is back.
Oh, okay.
So the Santurin's back.
The Sherlock Holmes.
The Sherlock. Holmes, yes. Solorian, and her girlfriend,
right,
Jenna.
Nice.
They're back in it, but they're all dressed in black.
Oh, okay.
And the Solorian and Jenna are wearing black veils, which kind of makes it definitely seem like a funeral.
Yeah, but remember, they all think that he's dead.
True.
So
there might be
something with that.
The rumored death of one of the pawns. Or both of them in the episode before that as well.
Oh, man.
So, I mean, it kind of backs up something there.
Yeah. Who's it going to be? Who's going to get the axe?
Probably Rory, unfortunately.
Because he's the most likable?
No, because how often have they killed him?
That's
true.
Yeah,
I almost would say that they would go to Amy.
Because of that?
Because they've killed Rory
so
much.
They killed Rory a fuck time.
Yeah, so it's expected, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think... Well, you know what? I would rather them kill Amy. It
doesn't matter because they're both going to be gone soon.
Yeah, they're both leaving. I know you want to talk about the companion, but let's still lead up a little bit. The next episode, Dinosaurs on a Spaceship.
Okay.
Did you see the guests that are in that?
Yes!
It's like
I
a
did.
Harry Potter reunion.
Well,
yeah.
Finch,
yeah.
Mr. Weasley, and then you got Lestrade from Sherlock.
Yeah, it's
so
gonna
I'm
be
just
kind of
like, yeah.
It's going to be great.
And then Mr. Weasley's in the episode after that as well. So
yeah, he's Rory's dad.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So that'll be fun. I don't know much about the episode after that, The Power of Three. I'm not really sure what...
Wasn't one of them supposed to be a Western?
Okay, yeah. A Town Called Mercy's episode 3.
Okay.
And that's where they're fighting a Terminator style type robot.
Okay.
The episode after that is The Power of 3, which a couple shots of filming, there's just a bunch of black little boxes on Rory and Amy Street.
Okay.
And then they posted the poster for it, and they're all the Doctor and Rory and Amy are carrying boxes that have threes on them. But after that is the Angel episode, and the Pond's last one, shot on location in New York City, which you see in the trailer for the season.
Right.
You see them on Times Square. But they also shot in Central Park.
Yeah, they took a picture on the same rock that Andrew and I took a picture on, actually.
Yeah, but there's an Angel statue right by there, is there not?
Yeah, there's one close by.
Exactly. And also, they shot at the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, neat.
So, there could be a very, very big angel in this episode.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
I think it would be. But and think about it. Eyes are always on that thing.
Yeah, so...
So, it explains why it hasn't moved. And it's also... Stephen Moffat has also said this is the last episode with the angels. This is their swan song.
Oh, man. So, why is that? Is there a reasoning?
So they're not overused, I'm assuming.
Okay.
Keep them...
But the Daleks will
keep them good. Because the Daleks... You can't just take away the Daleks.
I like the angels more than I like the Daleks.
But the Daleks are... Who's villain? I mean,
yeah, I know.
They're the first villains.
I think this sort of brings up something that kind of takes away. Like, when you first watch Doctor Who, you pretty much just watch it all at once.
Yeah,
right.
You don't know what's coming up. You have no idea what you did. I didn't. I had no idea what the fuck this was gonna, how this was gonna go, what was gonna happen.
Yeah, I really had no background with it at all until you showed it to me.
Yeah, and now at this point, though, we're caught up, we're waiting for new episodes, and at the same time, we're also hearing about all of this stuff. Or, like, stuff is getting leaked out or something, and, you know, we hear about stuff like the Statue of Liberty.
If we were watching Who back when it started... The BBC had come out and announced David Tennant's the next Doctor before it aired. I mean,
the BBC is not the James Bond film team. That's what he's trying to get at here.
Just knowing that before Chris's regeneration, knowing that, okay, Chris is only here for these 13 episodes and somebody else is taking over. I mean, I would have loved to have been able to watch that not knowing that David's coming. But the first thing I caught of Who was something that David Tennant, so I knew what had to happen.
Soon. Yeah, same year, the first episode I watched years ago was 42.
Yeah. I don't
know.
No. I like 42.
I haven't liked it. That didn't want to watch the show at all.
First one I watched was actually Doomsday.
You don't like that one.
I don't like that one.
The first one I watched was
It was enough to get me to like it. You know, it's like, oh, this show seems cool.
The first episode I watched...
Cyberman kind of looked like Iron Man.
...was with Eccleston. So I started with New Who. And I guess that in that... Because of that, I respect their efforts to bring in new audience.
Yeah.
I mean, they're always trying to reinvent the villains and the characters to represent them to these young kids so that they can continue the... You know, the fan base for the show, and I think that's great that they're able to make something that was popular in the 60s or 70s rather.
Well, 63.
Okay, so to make something that's popular in that era be popular again,
relevant,
and be relevant again, I think that's a very good thing.
Popular,
that they're doing.
As popular as it ever has been.
I mean, in American television, what do they have on American television? Law and Order, Law and Order SVU. CSI.
Criminal Intent.
CSI Miami. Get real, yeah.
Miami's canceled. It's no longer on.
Well, that's right. See, that's how much I don't care about American television.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what I was trying to say is I miss being in that vacuum where I don't know. And now I don't really do know. But, like, I would have liked to have been surprised about the Statue of Liberty thing.
David.
Well, it's just speculation. I mean, they just shot at the Statue of Liberty. It might not be.
Yeah, but now, but even if it does turn into it, you're just...
I like being able to speculate. I like being able to create my own theories and whatnot. You know, I think it's fun knowing a little bit.
I like the surprise.
Speculation can kind of hurt a little bit, given what I knew about Melody and whatnot last year.
Yeah.
I thought, and all the clues are in the episodes, but that was her being River was not a surprise to me. I thought it was bloody obvious. It drove me nuts.
Yeah, I didn't think it was too obvious. I remember being sort of surprised by that.
I was as well. I guess we don't read as much about the show as
we don't hunt down.
You're on the hunt for the scoop, and we just let it come to us.
I go to bleedingpool.com and whenever they talk about Boo.
Yeah.
Unless it's just like, hey, new companion.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I avoid reading. I don't look at them. Pictures.
I don't care.
I mean, I care, but I want to watch the show. I don't want to just look at it.
The weird thing is, who's the only thing I do that with? I don't track down stuff for other shows. Like, like Supernatural. I don't find out, try and find out what's going on there or anything.
So you're obsessed with Doctor Who?
And probably. I mean, Dexter, I don't do, and The Walking Dead, I don't do, and
I don't do with anything now. Yeah. Ever since, I think it was Infinite Crisis, when I was looking at spoilers before I read the issue, that was when I learned how much.
I avoid comic book spoilers.
Yeah.
Completely.
But yeah, at that point, I started just to avoid spoilers at all. Yeah. I mean, it kind of gets to the point where I don't, like, once I see...
Hey, Michelle's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly.
But once I, like, even after I see, like, one trailer for the movie, I don't even like to see another trailer for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though the first trailer to The Dark Knight was kind of shitty.
Well, I like the anticipation, man. Not knowing what is ahead is better.
Well,
I want to see the whole story delivered.
Because I was thinking about it again today. The trailers for Avengers kind of ruined the moment at the end when the Hulk saves them. Because the entire fight, I'm waiting for that to happen. And it kind of, after he went up into space, we're like, oh, no threat here. We know he survives.
Yeah, see, shit like that. That's the thing about trailers. Trailers, you know, are normally made up of money shots.
Yeah.
Once you see the money shot in the trailer, you're excited, but at the same time, that excitement is displaced and not actually...
I like it at times when they do different takes or different variations of the shot, so it's not exactly the same, or have content in the trailers that it's not in the movie. I like that. So,
do you think we're going to get some interaction? I wanted to ask this question. Do you think we're going to get some interaction between Rory and Amy and our new companion? Do you think we're going to get to see that at all? Or do you think we're going to wait until
I kind of hope Angels? So. I think that would be a kind of fun thing to do, because a lot of the old companions did that. Companions overlapped all the time in Classic Who.
Yeah, and like we were saying earlier, that she was kind of flirting with Rory, calling him the nose. So maybe there's something there that's going to play on the marriage a little bit.
They kept her being in this episode completely quiet.
Yeah, you were flabbergasted.
I really was. She showed up on screen and I was like, holy shit. Like, I was shocked. I was like, wow, that's a big thing to not leak.
I wasn't shocked because he posted a picture of her on
Twitter. My bad.
He texted me.
Yeah, there was a post that said, spoiler warning, don't read. I didn't read it.
Yeah.
But
a couple posts
the
later, there's a picture of her.
My bad.
And I'm like, gee, I wonder what that is.
That means avoid my Facebook.
Oh, buddy.
Nah.
Andrew had me tell him.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, who's so amazing? He's like, yeah, what? He's like, oh, Jenna Louise Coleman's in it. He's like, new companion? I'm like, yeah.
But yeah, so
not bad.
Oh, what about having the Daleks be more human? What about those Daleks?
The Daleks term for crazy is human. I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, I'm talking. Yeah, that plus the Daleks who were human bodies.
Oh, I love that when Amy was hallucinating.
Out. Yeah, what about that? That was interesting because the Daleks are going to come back, as we already were saying.
Yeah.
So. What if they come back now and they're like Cylons in the new Battlestar Galactica?
Where they're human?
Where they're human.
Where we already got
Wait
those in this? Oh, are you talking about... Oh, you're talking about... Okay, you were talking about the human Daleks. Not the ones...
Yeah,
I thought you
said...
You were talking about the one Amy was hallucinating.
No, I'm saying what if we no longer get robot Daleks? What if we only get human Daleks?
I don't think we'll do that.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do that.
I have one question.
Yeah.
Is it Skaros, the name of the planet, was Time Lock?
I'm pretty sure it is. Didn't they Time Lock all the Time War? Or just Gallifrey?
You would know this more than I would. But, it's Time Lock. How do they get Doctor Who and then the companions there?
I don't know. Well,
they teleported.
The companions never went to Skaro. Only the Doctor did, who was dropped off there by the crazy hooded guy. Oh no, he was given the coordinates.
Wait a minute, the Parliament of the Daleks wasn't.
I don't know. I thought it was time locked.
I don't think it being time locked makes the entire situation make any more sense than it.
Yeah.
So okay.
I could have swore it was, but maybe not. I just assume that's why we hadn't seen it until now.
Okay.
Because I mean, it's such a big planet to use. Why would it? unless it, you had you saw you had the adventure games on your computer. That first one, isn't it on ScarRail?
Yeah, I think it is.
It
actually.
Is, yeah.
It is.
So my argument's, it's not time locked. It was in, then it's technically not the first time we've seen it in New Who since it was in the adventure game.
Okay.
Which are canon. So.
Okay.
Well.
That's important.
Then why don't they use Skaro more often?
I don't know why. What would be the point?
It's a home planet of the Daleks.
But the Daleks don't live there anymore.
Yeah,
yeah, aren't the Daleks supposed to be... I mean, where did the Parliament of Daleks... I mean, normally...
Where do they come from?
Yeah, normally...
You know where they came from.
Well, it's just that when normally...
You know where the new paradigm came from. That was...
Back in World War II?
Yeah. With Victory of the Daleks.
Yeah, good old Winston Churchill.
Yes, it's one of those
the
things...
Power Ranger Daleks.
I'd like to think of them as Apple Daleks.
Oh, yeah.
It's just one of those things, if you think about the logistics of it, of where the Daleks have appeared previously to try and take over Earth, how they seem brand new, kind of just jump-started their species.
Yeah.
It just, I don't
know. So there being that many of them?
Yeah.
Well, they were converting people.
Yeah, really, we don't ever... I don't think we ever know what's going on with the Daleks, because they're just, like, on that... They're on the outer reaches.
Because every time they... Because every time they've come back, they have been minimum. Oh, these are the last of the Daleks. I'll defeat you now for the
last time. Yeah, but
they were
the last of the Daleks, obviously.
Every time, they've been the last of the Daleks until Victory of the Daleks, where they were the last of the Daleks. But
they got away.
They got away, and...
Made babies.
They were new. They were new. They were a new breed of Dalek. A new threat.
Right.
And with the paradigm, you see how the paradigm works in this. The RTD era Daleks are kind of like they're drones, like they're red shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, so the Doctor's married now.
Yeah, so the Doctor is married.
So technically, he can't shack up. With
the Dalek?
With Gary Coleman, or whatever his name is.
With the Dalek? You can't shack up with the Dalek?
Well, no, you can't shack up with the Dalek either. I'm more concerned.
Has he ever really shacked up with a companion?
Not in Classic Who.
I guess
not. And, I mean, clearly there was something there with Rose.
Well, yeah, but did they, like...
And he is married.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he did his the first companion was his actual granddaughter.
Yeah.
With William Hartnell. His first companion was his granddaughter.
Okay.
So, I mean, he's clearly boned.
He has spread the seed, sir.
Yeah.
To be clear.
Okay.
There could be descendants of the Doctor out there.
Yeah, the Doctor's daughter was in one.
Yes. And, hey, actually... the chair that Oswin is in her little room,
the same
chair
Moffat was in,
that Georgia Moffat was in, and when she takes off in the spaceship at the end, it used the same exact chair.
How did you find this out?
Somebody posted it online. They had the two photos next to each other.
Was it on purpose?
No, probably just them saving money.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost the exact same shot because it's the shot of that both of them in the chair. Of, like, a cockpit area, and it's the same chair positioned in, like, the same way in the frame.
Wow.
It's just kind of...
Like, that's funny.
No, I would like to see her come back.
Yeah.
Just Georgia Moffat or the character?
The character.
Okay.
Because, I mean, she flies off at the end of it.
Right.
And I would like to see Georgia Moffat come back.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's always the 50th anniversary. Why not? If her husband and father might be in it... Why wouldn't she?
Hell yeah, man.
I just think that must be so weird, you know, being married to
being
a doctor.
Being a Doctor Who family.
Being a Doctor Who family. Everybody in the family is connected to Who in some way. That baby's destined to be a doctor, right?
Possibly. Or a drug addict who can't handle his parents' success. We'll let fate decide that.
You can't even say... I mean, yes, they're successful, but I would love to see David Tennant, like, blow up. Like, he has real potential to be a massive star. Yeah. I'd like to see that happen. I don't think it will, though, unfortunately. I think if Fright Night would have done better, it would have helped. Because he's the best part about Fright Night.
Yeah.
He was awesome. You still haven't seen it.
No, I haven't.
Ah, you're missing out. It's a good movie. Well, let's, still more we could talk about. Well, what would you guys like to see out of Jenna when she eventually does fully join the show?
Well, I like the sassiness. It reminds me of Donna Noble in the way that she kind of was bossing around the doctor. Yeah, she didn't care. The doctor was her bitch.
Right?
It was awesome. It was awesome. So I'm kind of looking forward to that.
With Moffat saying this is going to be heartbreaking, a heartbreaking exit for the Pons, just because you brought up Donna, you think it'll beat that? Donna's exit was heartbreaking.
Yeah, it really kind of was.
And I think her popping back up in the End of Time kind of took away from it a little bit. But
no,
I was happy to see her, but
yeah.
I
think she was underused in it because she starts to remember, and since she didn't change, shouldn't she have become full Time Lord? That's why she didn't change. Shouldn't it have changed her human DNA to Time Lord? And then she would have had her memories back? Right?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying, right? The Master made everybody the Master.
Yeah,
and Donna wasn't affected because she was running away from the other Masters. And she's starting to get her memories back. Shouldn't it have just changed her human DNA to Time Lord DNA? And stayed and made her, like, full Time Lord? Like, that's how it makes sense in my head. Why have her in there for just that little bit and not have any meaning? I mean, you do get that one line of where the doctor's like, do you think I leave my best friend unprotected or some shit like that? But, I don't know. Little offshoot there. So, what would you like to see out of Jenna?
What we got? I mean, I don't really have Do you think,
as much as I know I would like to see that character come back, it's pretty unlikely.
That we get the same...
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it depends on who she is in relationship to the companion. If she is the companion, if she's a future form of the companion, is she a descendant of the companion? I mean, we don't know at this point.
Yeah. And, again, maybe there's no connection. Because it's been... It's a common thing in Who for actors... and actresses to appear in the show before they're actually a full cast member.
Yeah.
Well, the Sixth Doctor was in two Peter Davison episodes as a bad guy. And even in New Who, Freema Agyeman was in the season 2 finale. She was working for Torchwood and was killed, well, converted into a Cyberman.
Mm-hmm.
In that. And I think it might have ended up being, like, her cousin or something. Like, they were related somehow. Right. I don't remember exactly. I think it's said
Amy
in, like,
was
a
in,
she was in the Fires of Pompeii. And, so, I mean, it's definitely a common thing for the actor to be in something previously before joining the cast full time.
I suppose, but this is a completely different situation.
Yeah, because this is the same season that she's about to enter into.
And she's already been
a few episodes later, yeah.
I mean,
and they have the same. And they have the same. What is it? The last name of the companion's character.
Osborn.
Yeah, Osborn was the first name of the Dalek. Yeah, Osborn.
Yeah.
Osborn.
So
there's got to be a relation between them.
And the fact that she made some clear nods towards the camera when she's like, "Remember me," and looks at the
yeah,
camera.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was kind of blatant.
Yeah.
And that's something we've never really seen from her before either.
Yeah, something that where the person is talking to the camera.
Talking to
the audience.
I think she'll probably be the same sort of character.
I hope so. I really liked what we had.
Yeah, that sass was sexy. Am I allowed to say that word?
Yes.
The sass
was
sexy.
We're an explicit podcast.
Oh, we're
explicit.
Say
whatever, you can say whatever the
Don't
fuck
say
you
that.
Want.
Yeah, that it was very attractive, the way she treated Matt in that one. I must say.
It was kind of funny to hear him make fun of his chin.
Yeah, I like that. The nose and the chin.
She never once talks to Amy.
No, and that's why I wonder if there's not going to be more between her and Rory that causes some problems between.
I mean, they kept her such a secret for this. I mean, it's possible she'll show up again.
Yeah, she could be in every following.
Kind of like Rose in season 4. Rose kept making appearances. So, I mean, it's possible.
Yeah.
I kind of don't want Rose to show up in the 50th.
Why?
Because she keeps coming back.
But I miss Rose. When's the last time Rose was back?
End of Time.
Okay, it's been long enough.
And, well, that flashback that Matt had, well, it wasn't really a flashback, but it was the TARDIS computer showing him the previous TARDIS inhabitants. Where it showed Donna, Martha, and Rose.
Right, right.
So, if you want to count that.
I wonder, though, Matt's first season, he came out, and what was the main villain ultimately in that season? Remind me.
In season 1?
Yes.
All of them?
Well, the Kraken Time.
The Kraken Time.
Yeah, ultimately it was everyone trying to take down the Doctor, right? Yeah. So there was an epic. There was
but
an
I mean,
epic
it had a. There this. No questions were really answered in season 1. Because I mean, they gave you the Silence Will Fall. And,
right, right. And then
we
season
don't know
two,
what happened to the TARDIS. Why the TARDIS exploded? We still don't know that.
Yeah.
They haven't explained that.
But then in our second season with Matt, we learn about the Silence, and we have them as, I think, arguably would be like the ultimate bad guy of the season. They were always in the background.
Yeah. Well, they're always in the background. I mean, who's to say that the first appearances of River didn't have the Silence in them? I mean, hell, the name of the episode is Silence in the Library. What if the Silence are actually in the library? Their first meeting.
That is some
River.
Serious forethought by
Moffat,
yeah.
Oh, well, Moffat planted everything in that. All of River was planted in that. Except I think she's overused a bit.
Well, because they used her a lot in one season.
Well,
two
the past
seasons. Yeah,
2 seasons. And as far as I know, the only episode with her in this first half is episode 5.
Okay, so the one right after the Ponds are gone.
No, that is episode 5.
Oh, okay.
Hour 3 or
whatever. Yeah. So, I mean, I almost expected her to show up here somewhere. In the past episode, I was just waiting for it. Which has kind of got me to the.
I don't think that they can play. I don't think they can have both River and Oswin on screen together with the Doctor.
Why? Too much sexiness?
I think there will be a fight between the two women. I think if they put them on screen together, it's going to just be a fight over the Doctor.
I saw an interesting thing today where. Matt and that Rory and Amy kind of look at the Doctor now as their adopted son, and mainly because he needs somebody to look out for him. They mention that in the episode quite a bit, that he needs somebody there, and since he is technically their son-in-law, like, they feel responsible to look out for him a little bit.
Wow.
And especially because he has that childlike heart to him. Right.
Yeah. The raggedy doll.
And with Amy and Rory not being able to have children, maybe that's
explain that to me. Why can't she have children?
She said she doesn't know. It's something that happened to her.
When she was at Demon's Run.
But whatever it was, she can't do it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's not able to have
TARDIS
babies.
Again.
Yeah.
Make another time baby.
Maybe that'll fix the problem.
In Chris and Rich's and Andrew's podcast, They brought up a couple theories that Rory could possibly be the new master. Yeah. And I was just kind of like...
Why?
Why?
I don't think they'd do that.
I don't think they would either.
No, Rory... I don't see all of the value in Rory that you do. You say you think he's
more... He's relatable. He's an everyman. And he's kind of nerdy.
I don't like him any better than I like than I like Amy. I think they're the same. Yeah, to me
you can't have one without the other.
No, well, that I agree.
You can't have one without the other. Because I mean, well, most of season 1 you had
just
Amy.
But it's better with the two.
It is better with the two.
But I mean, I you could kind of understand where they're coming from because Rory is kind of established to sort of be. Kind of the opposite of the Doctor in the sense that Rory reads around for 2,000 years and the Doctor just
jolts from one place to the next.
And,
yeah.
and just like the way they act, or I mean, they're opposites from each other, so you could kind of establish him as a protagonist and an antagonist, but I think it works
having
better
a Time Lord child instead of just them fucking in the Time Vortex.
Well, it's just I like it better Amy being sort of conflict between the two of them.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's kind of like the good, you got the good guy, bad guy thing going on.
Then,
the irresponsible versus the responsible.
They brought up a point in Let's Kill Hitler that at one point Amy or Rory does kind of fall to his knees because he hears banging. And Amy replies, oh, that's just Hitler in the cupboard. Like a joke. And I always took it as, you know how the silence messed with people's minds, and that maybe he saw a silence or something and it messed with his head a little bit. See, that's how I took it, especially in a season where you know the silence are definitely in the background of it the entire time. Mm-hmm. That's how I saw it, but who knows? Who might be the poor Knox of the Master.
Yeah.
But I don't see it that way. I see it as being the silence messing with his head. And then the death of Amy in episode 5, if it is her, could be what makes him reveal himself.
As the Master?
Yeah. I don't see it. I don't see it at all.
Yeah, I think it's a little far fetched.
Yeah, I agree. I was listening to it today and I was just like, really? Really?
Did you hear that, Andrew?
Well,
fuck
it was
you.
Chris.
Oh, Chris
brought it up.
Fuck you. You're wrong. Disproved.
But I have no idea where the second half of the season will go. I'm excited.
I don't know where the first half of the season is going to go. Yeah, except for Manhattan with some angels.
Like, something that kind of excites me. I honestly, they're keeping any details about the second half of the season tight. They're keeping it under wraps, which so far is a good thing. I mean, they're filming, and I mean, they've only had a couple set photos from the Christmas special, and that's it.
So, have you got, what do you know about the new James Bond film?
Nothing.
Is it nothing?
Nothing?
Oh, damn.
I know nothing about the new Bond film.
Okay, here's
except
all.
Except for Q.
Because we were talking about tight with people, I thought of James Bond film. Because
they don't.
Okay, Skyfall.
Yeah? What the fuck
is
Skyfall?
It's November, right?
Yeah.
All we know for sure is that M plays a very central role in this one. Like, I think that she's the source of conflict.
Yeah.
Maybe she's going to be kidnapped or she's being threatened. She's
clearly, she's being threatened. Something's happening up there.
She's losing the identity of the covert office.
Yeah. She loses all the agents. Which, Bond wouldn't be on there because he's dead at the time, correct?
Right, he's presumed dead.
Yeah.
And then he comes back.
After this is all leaked.
Yeah, he comes back.
Where the hell have you been?
And there's a very pretty, I believe, French girl in this one. Is that right?
Yeah.
And also in the trailer, isn't the bad guy from one of the last two in it?
No.
It's
God damn it. I'm trying to think. He was in No Country for Old Men.
Javier Bardem.
Okay.
Yeah,
he looks familiar.
Yeah, he's gonna be killer.
He looked familiar. I was thinking maybe it might have been the guy from Quantum of Solace.
He's gonna be
kinda
great.
Kind of look like him.
No.
I am looking forward to Q, the new Q.
Yeah.
The new quartermaster.
Yeah, let's see what this is gonna be like.
I like because it's a young guy, like a young
nerdy.
Kid.
We're thinking
young, nerdy
tech
kid.
Savvy kid.
Yeah. I'm excited for that.
Yeah. I just love James Bond. Oh, man.
But yeah, I'm at a loss to where the season of Who will go after the Ponds leave.
I don't know.
And what do you guys think about the wait? The wait between from the Christmas special to now, and then having after these 5 episodes in September, having to wait again until Christmas?
I really wish they would find a schedule and stick to it by now.
Because it comes out.
I mean, I've only been watching it up to date for about 3 years now.
Yeah.
But it's really fucking difficult because it changes every year.
It really does. I mean, last year wasn't too bad. It started around the same time that it normally does, around Easter, around sometime in April it normally comes back, which it did in 2010 and 11. It came back, but last year they added the 3 month gap, and it was off until I think it was the beginning of May to sometime in May to August, and just from going from August or September to Christmas last year was a pain. But at least last summer, during that break, we had Torchwood, so it wasn't too bad. It wasn't... We had something in between both halves.
Yeah, Torchwood Miracle Day was pretty good.
And then, but this year just seems almost too much, like too long of time between stuff. Which, I mean, did change my opinion about the first episode quite a bit, because probably because I was just so excited to have Hulu on again.
Yeah.
So maybe it isn't that great of an episode, and I just really enjoyed seeing him.
See, I thought it was... I thought the acting was great. I just thought the storyline in the end, there wasn't enough at the end.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough payout.
Yeah, well, I didn't need to hear him run around his ship saying Doctor Who 20 times. I was like, God damn it.
It was nice to see the TARDIS. I think that's what it was for. And they didn't have any TARDIS interiors.
Well, yeah, I think they were introducing... I think they were trying to introduce a lot of underlying points that are going to be throughout the rest of the season. But they didn't really... The storyline didn't have any substance to it. It was merely a place to insert, like...
I mean, clips for later on. I spoke about it earlier where I was like, it was very... small contained episode, like that very few sets.
Yeah.
There were almost like always in that dark, danky asylum.
And there's only a couple rooms in the asylum.
It's kind of disappointing to think about the way it was described at the beginning of the episode. It sounded
massive.
Yeah, massive and a lot bigger than what we actually got.
And it opens up big with seeing Skaro. I mean, you see this whole other planet, and then they go to the Dalek Master ship. Or whatever, which was a massive room and kind of intimidating. And then you go to the Asylum of the Daleks, and you're thinking, oh, Asylum of the Daleks, this will be creepy, this will be scary, and whatnot.
And it really wasn't.
And it wasn't. I mean, they had the outside, which was pretty and white, and it felt big. Like, okay, this is a good start. And then they just go underground. A couple of rooms.
Yeah, I mean, that was all there really was to it. It's like, I don't know, at the end of last season, where there are a couple episodes where they're in hotels or apartment buildings.
I kind of liked that episode. I forget the name of it, but the labyrinth with the Minotaur.
God Complex.
Yeah, the God Complex.
Yeah, I like that one.
I liked that. It was something different. I mean, yeah, it was pretty contained and whatnot. But you say that, go back to Chris Eccleston's season. Chris Eccleston's season was always on Satellite 5 or on Earth. So.
They managed to make it so I didn't notice it, though.
Yeah.
You don't
go to a different planet until David Tennant.
Well,
because like six episodes,
the show
are on Satellite
still
5.
Managed to feel big.
Yeah.
Like this one, which just felt
should have been big.
Yeah, it should have been big, but it wasn't.
Yeah. Like last year, I mean, last year's opener, the two-parter, they shot in the U.S. and it had Hoover Dam, and it was big. It was a large Hollywood-scale budget.
And even just the adventure itself was, you know, big. You went to the White House, went to Florida. You went like everywhere, and it just felt like more happened.
It was two episodes.
Well,
the other day, when me and Chance watched it, he brought up the fact that the Doctor didn't hold back.
He didn't. He was a lot more relentless in his attacks towards the Daleks. He set that one to self-destruct and pushed and shoved him into
the Dalek itself.
Rest.
Yeah, the Dalek
set itself to self-destruct because he was missing his blaster.
Right.
And the Doctor rolled him into the...
The Doctor,
opened
like...
him up and put him in
the Doctor pretty much...
And then
like,
kicked him.
Yeah, he pretty much, like, coaxed him into self-destruct, and then he shoved him back into the room with the rest of the Daleks and blew them all up.
And
we have never seen him commit murder like that before. That's interesting.
To that bluntly. Like, he has before.
Yeah, but not... It's never been outright malicious, where he was like, I'm gonna kill you right now.
Could be just because of the Daleks.
Which, even before, he's always been calm to the Daleks.
Yeah,
he's always been hoping to save them. Even with Davros, he was willing to save Davros at the end of season 4.
Yeah, it's a lot different than what we've ever seen from him.
And then, I mean, the past Dalek episode, he was a bit when he was trying to get the Daleks to come out with their plan. Like, I'm the doctor, and he kept beating the one, the iron side with something after it offered him tea. Just to get them to come out, I'm the doctor, recognize me, and then they're like, oh, we're the bad guys. But I loved when Rory was just kind of like, who killed all these Daleks? Like, he was not expecting it to be the doctor. He's like, who do you think? I was just like, oh, shit. That's definitely something, even him acknowledging it like that, isn't something we've gotten from Matt before.
Yeah.
I mean, we've gotten dark times with, like, David Tennant at the end of Waters of Mars, the Time Lord Victorious, where it got really dark for a minute.
Yeah.
And then, we haven't really got that from Matt. I mean, we've seen him mad, but not mad enough to commit murder.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And I thought that was just something that I really liked about this episode. It had something we hadn't seen before. Well, to that extent. I mean, we all know the Doctor's possible of committing murder because he killed his entire race. Mm-hmm. He destroyed the Time Lords in order to save the universe. So, I mean, it's something that's definitely there with the Doctor, but they don't show it too often. And, would you guys like to see more of that? Or do you like the childish, lighthearted Doctor more?
I want to see some more of this angry Doctor. Because I think that's something that he's supposed to be repressing. Like, we've always seen it be, he represses the anger and all of the history.
Now, is it because he's been traveling alone for so long?
But he hasn't been alone. We've been watching him be with a companion forever now.
He went 200 years without one this past year.
200 years?
Yeah, 200 years.
Okay.
From the time where he leaves the ponds after an old man or good man goes to war, and we come back for, it was after Let's Kill Hitler. When he's with Craig, I mean, that's in his 200 years before he goes to meet its death. Because remember how he's 200 years older at the beginning of the season?
Oh, yeah.
And we get that doctor at the end of the season. There's 200 years in last year that happened that he was traveling without anybody, presumably. So he is an older doctor that hasn't been traveling with people on a constant basis. As what you got from a pond life, he just pops in every once in a while. He just pops in from time to time. Yeah. Visits. And do you think we got that darker side because he's been alone for so long? Because we got it in the trailer for this season in a town called Mercy. He's threatening somebody and Amy's like, this is what happens when you travel alone. You think it's because of that?
Could be.
Does the doctor need a companion?
I think so. I mean, we never watch just the doctor.
Yeah, we have.
We're used to the doctor and his companion.
Yeah. Well, even if he is on some adventure by himself, initially he does kind of always end up getting some sort of companion during the fucking adventure.
Yeah, he's a social beast.
Yeah.
He can't help it.
So let's give each other a question to kind of go out on here. Like, I don't know. What's an ending topic to close on?
I don't know. Do we want to stick with Doctor Who? Is that what you're wanting, or what?
Well, we can. Yes, let's stick with Doctor Who.
I don't know. I'm not really the biggest fan of speculation. I guess. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. They haven't told me yet. I don't know. I'll talk about it after I've seen it. I don't really see much of a point. Looking ahead when it'll be presented to me in a way that I probably, I mean, I don't know, like, thinking about stuff sometimes too far ahead forces you to make the story in your head, and if it doesn't meet expectations of something you've created in your head, I don't, I, I just don't see much of a point.
I just hope we see Amy and Oswin have a cat fight.
Sexing it up?
I just want to see a cat fight.
Sexing it up?